More than just the doodads and boop-de-boops. Boop-de-boops. It's Tech Tuesday with Carmi Levy.
Carmi Levy joins us now, our News Talk 1010 tech expert. Nice to have you, sir.
Great to be here, John.
Okay. Yeah, we've got new introductions for everybody. I'm a big fan of random packaging. So
I love it. I gave a little bit of a gleeful cheer when it first went on, so thank you.
Okay.
Never had one.
So Tesla's autopilot and self-driving programs have apparently been linked to all kinds of crashes and possibly dozens of deaths. That's pretty alarming.
It is. So, you know, this the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration in the U.S. is investigating one particular accident involving a student who stepped off of a school bus and a Tesla Model Y was traveling at highway speeds, plowed right into him and killed him. There are dozens of other reports, over 40 that they're looking into, all similar circumstances. Car hits someone or something at full speed while under the control of either autopilot or full self-driving, and the human driver was supposed to have been in control, clearly wasn't. And also there are indications that the features built into these technologies that are supposed to warn the humans didn't always warn them. So some significant concern. This echoes a similar investigation by the NHTSA into Ford's BlueCruise technology as well. Similar sort of instances where this automated technology obviously isn't, and humans in the loop who are supposed to stop this from happening are just doing whatever else it is that they do at the wheel. They clearly aren't driving.
Meanwhile, a Baltimore High School athletic director who used AI to make a fake audio version of the principal. I really worry about this in the future because it's actually possible to create audio and video and make it look like people said things they never said.
It absolutely is. They call this voice cloning or video cloning, and what they'll do is they'll grab a clip of a victim online. How many of us have posted things to TikTok or Instagram or YouTube? And they'll use that to synthesize the person's likeness and voice and get them to say anything. In this case, athletic director, Baltimore High School, he was ticked off. He was being investigated for misappropriating school funds. Imagine that. So rather than just accept his punishment and move on, he decides to take revenge on the principal, and he voice clones him saying racist and anti-Semitic things, emails it to a bunch of students, emails it to a bunch of teachers, posts it to social media, even uses it to make prank phone calls. And of course, what's the first thing that happens? The school investigates, suspends the principal. So eventually they brought in the cops, they brought in the FBI, they investigated, they found out that it was a deep fake. They arrested the guy, the principal got his job back. This, you know, the athletic director's probably going to be fired. But that's the scary thing here, is that while this due process is happening, while the investigation is going on, real people can suffer real consequences. This guy, this principal who was just going about his business, was actually suspended in the middle of all of this. And now it hangs over him, even though he's since been cleared. So the danger is very clear. Deepfake AIs can do some very significant damage, even when an investigation proves that the individual was perfectly innocent.
Yeah, and when you consider that even, like, for example, you can find panels on Twitter that have a picture of Justin Trudeau and a quote, and then you look up the mm-hmm. quote and you find out he never said that. But that's just the printed word. Actually being able to fake video where somebody speaks something and the propensity that people have to believe the things that they want to believe in, the future's kind of an alarming place.
Yeah, we have always been primed to believe the video. Oh, well, I saw it on video. Of course, it must be true. That was also largely true about photos before Photoshop came along. So now artificial intelligence, of course, is almost like the digital Photoshop for video, and it's breaking down those barriers between what we can and cannot believe. We can't always believe the video that we see because it might be synthetic. It might be AI created. And so we're going to have to do a better job as consumers to, when we see a video like this, lean in, look for those tells that it does come from an AI source, but also ask ourselves the question, can we identify where it comes from? Can we confirm the legitimate source? If the answer is no, we may not want to believe it. We may not want to engage with that asset or act on it either.
And speaking of AI and all things negative about it, is it a threat to the environment?
It is a huge threat to the environment. One thing we don't consider, you know, when you're playing with ChatGPT or Copilot and doing an, generating an image, what it's doing, it's sending a command to a data center somewhere far away, much like when you run a search. What's different here, though, is that AI is incredibly compute intensive. It makes computers run very hot. They consume a lot of electricity. They use a lot of water and energy for cooling. And in Ireland, which is a very small country with a lot of data centers because electricity is cheap there and their tax rates are really low for tech companies, they're saying that they ran a report. It showed that the data centers there consumed more electricity than 18% of all of the rural homes in the country. And data out of London shows that one medium-sized data center uses as much water for cooling as three average-sized hospitals. So AI as an industry has a huge energy consumption problem, and it's only going to get worse, obviously, as we start leaning in using AI more frequently. So next time you're using ChatGPT, you might want to think, do I really want to use this much electricity, or can I just try to get the answer myself or through other means?
And presto, Apple Wallet support likely coming this summer. Presto as in the card I'm using on the TTC?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, up until now, if you are an Android user and you use Google Wallet, you could just add your Presto card right in there very easily. Whereas if you have Apple, you kind of had to jump through hoops. It's not natively supported in Apple Wallet. You had to set up Express Mode in Apple Pay, which most people aren't going to take the time to do. And even then, you can only use credit and debit cards. You can't use other payment methods like PayPal or gift cards or things like that. So the CFO has submitted a report to the board of the TTC saying that this full-on integration with Apple Wallet is going to happen by July of 2024. So just another couple of months. And Apple users, this is one of those rare cases where iPhone users get something after Android users. And maybe it's retaliation for the blue bubble, green bubble thing, but it's coming by July 2024. And then everyone will be able to integrate it and have every payment method built right into the Apple Wallet. This is important because obviously nobody wants to line up in the station to reload their Presto card. You'll be able to do it natively from within Apple Wallet just in a couple of months.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good to know.
Thanks, John.
That's Carmi Levy on Tech.